I'm going through the books of the Bible, like I said, and we're on Joshua now. We're working through the Old Testament. And I've also told you that I like to think of the five cycles of winning, losing, loving in the Old Testament story. The first 17 books are the history of Israel and pre-Israel. And so we have this period of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, and they need to be seen together. What we just came out of is Numbers, where God won a vision for the people saying, take the promised land, because they were homeless people. Take the promised land, I'm ready for it. They didn't trust God. One generation later, after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, they get to Moab, cross the Jordan from the promised land, and it's a do-over. The Ten Commandments are given again, just before this time at Moab, and also the men are counted again, the soldiers, and this time Joshua is the leader. And they go into the land. As they're going into the land, the waters part of the Jordan is flooded. I know it's a small place, but it was flooding at flood season, and so it was larger than normal. And the water parted as the priests went out with the ark, and they walked across dry land. And when they got to the end, they sent one person from each tribe back to pick up a rock, and they made a rock pile. So the other generations and the next generations in the future will know what God did there. I'm not going to read everything, but in that first page, page 19, look down at the blank lines there. I just want to fill that in for you. Now, if you go just before that, what happens is Joshua is about God winning the land. God takes the land of Canaan and gives it to Israel. And that's down there in the boxes. See the progression under Joshua, Judges, Ruth in the box, the grid? The progression, for Joshua, it's winning. God wins the land, the promised land. Judges, the Israelites lose the promised land 7 times because of their sin. And then Ruth is the linchpin of 4 chapters, a love story. It's about the grace of God. It is the winning, losing, it's the loving part of the cycle. And we'll get to that later. Make you think about that for a few weeks, how this 4-chapter book could be the greatest book of all 3 of those. 7 is the key number, because when they go in the land, there are 7 different people groups that they have to defeat. There are 7 years of battling, 7 nations conquered, 7-year campaign, like I said, and also what happens is they go into the land and they take it. This is the culmination of centuries since Abraham and Sarah. Ever since Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, human beings are now homeless. We're homeless, spiritually homeless, and we don't have a land. But it seems like in the Old Testament, the centerpiece of the Old Testament story so far is God working towards giving a land to the Israelites. Ever since Abraham and Sarah heard the promise of God saying, if you go, all the worlds will be blessed, but I'll give you a nation and a name and descendants and all that. That's been the goal, land for homeless people. Land for homeless people. Usually Joshua, it's, by the way, 24 chapters, first 12 chapters talk about taking of the land, talks about the 31 battles, only one defeat, and that's when they thought they could do it without God. And that's kind of a rerun of the whole story of the Old Testament and our lives as well. And so in the conquests, usually you hear the conquest, singular. Joshua is about conquering the land. 12 chapters of conquering, 12 chapters of dividing the land between the 12 tribes, and they finally have land again. I believe it's conquests. In this winning, losing, loving segment, where Joshua wins the land, Israel loses the land because of their sin, and then God still loves them and prepares for a Messiah while they're sinning. That's Ruth. Okay, so those are the 3 books, but it's conquests. Joshua is a conquest to take the land. Judges is a conquest of 7 neighboring nations who come and defeat one at a time, Israel, because of their sin. And then the conquest of the best of all is Ruth, because in Ruth, God conquers something greater, which I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to wait. In fact, you may have to wait after Lent, because we're going to start the prophets here in a couple of weeks. So think about that one. Okay, on the backside, you've got the winning a land is Joshua 1 through 12, winning a home is Joshua 13 through 24. So it's about winning. It's about, oh, those Israelites were such incredible soldiers, weren't they? Look what they did. Look what they accomplished. Look, what happened is they finally got the promised land. And what they did was this thin, what's going to be Israel, thin nation to be, Joshua cut right down the middle of the land, tried to divide the peoples so the people groups did not work with each other, defeated the south, and then went and defeated the north. And the Israelites must have been such good soldiers. They have been all this power and capability and ability to do something so great. That's tongue-in-cheek, by the way. You know the story? How much did they do? They go to Jericho. First of all, the water's part, okay? They didn't even have to swim. And then the first city is Jericho. They didn't do it. They marched around blowing a trumpet. The seventh day, they did seven times. They did nothing. It's like baptism today. When these baptisms take place, there's nothing these girls bring. There's nothing these girls do. There's a wall that's been erected between humanity and God. And that wall, like a Jericho wall, is impossible for us to get through. We have no ability to get through it, but Jesus Christ does. So baptism is kind of the same thing going on here. Because there's nothing to do. It's a gift from God. The land was a gift from God. The walls fell down. Now, that's not good soldiering. I mean, these guys don't have, like, great generals back at headquarters trying to, you know, feed them. Now, we all like to take credit for things, but God does everything. In fact, in the book, it talks several times about God saying, I will fight for you. God is the one who fights. He's the general who takes the land. Israel does nothing. That kind of describes the passiveness of entering into the kingdom of God. It is this realizing you have nothing, and that you've sinned, and it's going to Christ, who has won the victory already. And so I want to talk about, what does this mean? Well, they get their land. That the whole storyline has been going to getting the land. But then there's another land now. We are looking at another land, aren't we? How many times have you seen in song or poetry? You cross the Jordan, right? What does that mean when you cross the Jordan into the promised land now? It's you die. The Jordan is death. Baptism is death. And going through the Jordan or the waters of the Jordan before they get to Jericho, it's death. It's death. And so we today have another objective that God has given us to follow, and it's for a future land. And again, God is the one who does it all, isn't it? He accomplishes salvation, but we're homeless people, spiritually homeless, and he's created a world for us. He's created a new world for us. He's created a land, found land, has a house there where there's many rooms, John says. Joshua is Hebrew, means deliverer. Jesus is the same thing. It's Aramaic. Jesus. It's the same thing. See, there's a new battle now. There's a new fight. There's a new promised land. And for us in Christ, we are looking forward to that promised land where there is perfect love, joy, and peace. And Christ is with us in intimate connection. There's a land that God is giving us, homeless people, and it's out in front of us. And it's the hope that we live with. It's the hope we live with. So, the problem is, we're standing here, and we're sitting here today. We still got a ways to go. Hopefully. Hopefully we got a little bit to go. But death is right there. It's not going to be long for any of us. Okay? It's not going to be long. So death is there. So we have to get from here to there. And what's going to happen is that it's a fight. Our whole lives are fights. Cancer strikes. Finances fall apart. Relationships crumble. Depression, mental illness, you go on and on. You go on and on. And the older I'm getting, I do go on and on. Yeah, my back is, you know, my leg is hurting. Now my 61-year-old friends, that's all we talk about. The rest of life is a fight. And if you had this notion that becoming a Christian, you're going to have a nice, easy life afterwards, it's a lie. You're going to have to fight your way through to the end. Some of you are going to have to go through some very difficult times. Many of you, most of you, have already gone through very difficult times. So how do we get from here to there? Well, I say we start with Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Before they enter the promised land, God comes to Joshua and says, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Chapter 6, 27, the Lord is with Joshua. Chapter 8, verse 1, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. 10:8, then the Lord said to Joshua, be not afraid of them. And then he starts giving his advice, that advice to others. God keeps telling him, don't be afraid. What does it mean when God tells Joshua not to be afraid? What does it mean? It means he's afraid, right? You don't tell somebody something that isn't going to be worth much. God's telling Joshua because he is afraid. Here's a military man. You know, I mean, I look at Crosby, I think there's a military guy. You know, you'd put to shame Joshua. He's crying in his beer in chapter 1, and God had to come and say multiple times in that first chapter, I am with you. Hello? That's how Christians, we walk through life many times. We walk through life defeated, as if God isn't with us. So one thing we have between here and there is we have the promises of God. And the key promise of God is that he is with you. He's not going to stop all the suffering. You're going to have to fight your way through to the end. There's some tough battles coming. There's some tough battles you have endured or you are enduring. But this promise is scattered throughout the Old Testament. I am with you. The goal then for us is to get to a point when we understand that and truly believe that Jesus is with us. And one of the ways to do that is tell each other stories or tell stories of God involved in life. I wrote a book 15 years ago about God stories from people from churches I've served. They didn't have to be there. I didn't have to be there when this happened, but 34 stories, incredible stories, angel stories, healings, on and on. The last church I was at, we had 40 stories that we put into a book just from that little church that worshipped about 120 people. Okay? You know, I've spoken on this topic many times. What I've discovered is between 20 and 30% of anybody in any group, even Lutherans, have had a supernatural encounter with God. And guess what? Nobody says anything. I don't know if it's my Norwegian roots or what. When I go talk places, they come up afterwards because they say, well, my pastor, I think my pastor's going to think I'm a kook if I tell him about this. There are profound encounters with God on a daily basis, millions around the world every day. And we keep silent when we really need is to know that we can trust God enough that he's going to be with us even when it seems like we cannot go on. How we get from here to there is we keep recounting the acts of God. Now, remember they went to the river, the Jordan River parted, they got through the other end. They didn't have to swim, didn't have to get their trunks on. And back in those days, they had those, even the men, full length, you know, those full length things. Didn't have to do anything. Now, when they got to the other side, like I said, one man from each tribe, the 12 tribes, came and took a big rock as big as they could carry, and they made a rock pile. They made a rock pile so that future generations would know that God was with them. We have a rock pile that we're not throwing the rocks in. We're not going back in the Jordan and bringing them out because people aren't sharing their rock pile stories. I have been blessed. I feel like I'm the most blessed pastor there is because I've taught on this and wrote on this. I've heard so many stories. My wife and I believe we're supposed to be a part of telling this, getting this word out to Lutherans because we have seen God so many times, churches, people, relatives, and I've been able to, because of that, hear stories upon stories. I was at a home a couple weeks ago about this incredible suffering that devastated this couple's life. And I was thinking, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to come out just sick, hearing the details. And they talked about how God entered into that time. And they had, I think, 6 or 7 stories where God showed up. I'm speaking this, that's a rock we're throwing in the pile. You know, many people don't believe, even in our churches, because they've never seen God operating. You don't have to see God operating in a big way. As we share the stories, it's our stories. We're building a rock pile. I've said this before. I don't need to see an angel. I know 10 to 15 people who have seen angels. I trust them all. I don't need to see it. It's like I have seen an angel through their stories. So we need a rock pile. We need, and I know Lent has been a time in the past where we've shared testimonies, but testimonies have to come out more. We got to, you know, fit it in somewhere. Tell these stories, share these things, because there's a big rock pile in this room right now. Like I said, between 20 and 30 have experienced God in a supernatural way, and what that did for you was it made you believe that God was with you. I'm looking at Dorothy right now, just because Dorothy's got a story. We all got stories. In fact, God is involved with all of our lives, but we don't acknowledge it or see it. The coincidences that happen or whatever, we don't see it. And so we don't even know. God is active in our life all the time. All the time. I've been blessed. My faith has been developed so much over hearing just story after rock after rock after rock. Jesus is the rock of the rock pile. So we're going to talk more. That's why one of the great things about visiting people, too, is their stories come out. But in this room, every one of us, God has moved in your lives. Simple ways, maybe through coincidence, maybe through things you didn't see, but he's moved. And it's through the rock piles. It's like the psalm says, they declare the goodness of God and the great works of God. We need to declare the great works of God. Many are leaving the church because they have no reason to believe there is a God who exists. And all the while, in this room, there's enough evidence to sell lots of people on this truth that God is with us. Let's put a rock pile together the next few years, telling these stories, seeing God at work as we seek him. And what he's going to say through all this is, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen.